This was truly the first unified national basketball championship. At the time, for the first up until 1938 or so, there were no champions. It was awarded by the Associated Press, I believe, through a media vote, kind of the way football was before the BCS. And then the NIT started in 1938. Then the NCAA started in 1939. Nobody could decide which one was the true championship. Then World War II came. A guy named Ned Irish, who was a key figure of early basketball, he operated Madison Square Garden, was a promoter, was vice president of the Knicks eventually. He came up with the idea of, for charity, having the two champions play each other, called it the Red Cross Game. And this, the first one happened April 1st, 1943, and it was Wyoming, which had won the NCAA title against Georgetown two nights earlier, and St. John's, which had won the NIT title about three nights earlier, and they met for what is now known as the first unified national college basketball championship.
This was sort of a interesting tournament for them because as soon as they lost, weren't some of them off to World War II?
Yes. In fact, for both Wyoming and St. John's, for every single player on this roster, this was their last game before going off to World War II. So it's we deal with that. It's a very poignant thing. They all had their draft cards. They all knew they were going. One of the three survivors at the time when we started this documentary that we talked to is a fellow named Tony Katana, who was the backup center to the star center Milo Kamenic on that team. Tony played in 24 of the 33 games that they played, but he didn't make the trip to New York. He still got his national championship ring, but he got his draft card a little bit early, and he had to report in 2 weeks, and he just decided, you know, I may not come home again. You know, so he went back home to Rock Springs and spent time with his girlfriend, who would eventually become his wife, and his parents, rather than accompanying the team to New York. So that was a very poignant time for him. It was a tough decision for him to make. So there are all kinds of decisions for those players to make in that context.
The other thing about this squad that maybe you could comment on, they were actually a pretty good team, weren't they, for a couple of years?
The key to this team was Everett Shelton, who was the coach, and he was in his fourth season here, and they made the tournament for the first time, I think, 2 years before, so the 1941 NCAA tournament, although they were eliminated early. Shelton was building the groundwork for this team, and it really came to full fruition there in the 42-43 season.
Kenny Sailors is famous for the jump shot.
One underrated thing about Kenny that nobody talks about, because everybody talks about the jump shot now, and that is what a dribbler and ball handler he was, and that was important, and he could really get opposing defenses, you know, on their heels by just pushing the ball up the court. So that was also kind of a, you know, those teams that did that. He wasn't the first person to do that, of course, but he was one of the early best ball handlers as well. We interviewed Jimmy Reese, who lived in Denver and was a executive for General Motors for decades until he retired. He was a guard, and he came in as a substitute when Milo Kamenic fouled out in the Red Cross game. We talked to Tony Katana, as I said, and then we talked to the children of Floyd Volker, who was a very important forward for that team, and Kim Kamenic, who's our director, who's the son of Milo Kamenic, the center, who was one of the first true big men in the game, along with George Mikan. And Milo Kamenic did help change the game of basketball. He's not as remembered as Kenny Sailors, but he was one of the first true big men. One thing about this team was it was almost to a man, a Wyoming born and bred.
People were fascinated by this Wyoming club. What maybe got them some national attention?
Because they came out of the West at a time when all the media was out of the East Coast. Nobody knew who Wyoming was, you know. Nobody gave them a chance to win. All the sports writers then picked St. John's, you know, as the superior team. They also had other great teams at that time. You know, nobody had really heard of Wyoming, and people were just stunned when Wyoming would come to the Garden. And not only were they a great team that would beat the East Coast teams, but they were, like, really entertaining to watch. They really became kind of a fan favorite. And I hear stories about how people, you know, New Yorkers that would come to basketball games at Madison Square Garden, you know, would actually openly root for Wyoming because they were such a fun team to watch.
Cowboys, the story of the 1943 National Basketball Champions. It's going to appear at 7 o'clock at the Wyo Theater in Laramie. And we do wish you well with this, Alan Johnson. Thanks for joining us.